Welcome to Polished-ish. Polished-ish is where real stories meet real lessons. Hosts Ruma, Julianne, and Jerry share unfiltered conversations about failure, growth, and the messy beauty of life, proving that imperfection is where the magic happens. So pull up a chair, because life isn't polished, it's Polished-ish. Welcome to Polished-ish, because life isn't polished and neither are we. We're back.
Yes.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to
Ruma. I think you're famous. I know you were in the news. Tell us. Kudos.
Let's hear it.
I finally made it to the news in a good way, huh? You always wanted, how are you going to make it to the news? This was a good one. Well, it's something that I've worked on for the last, 3 years, working on sort of solving a problem that we all sort of needed to address. As you know, professionally, I work in making sure that our clinical trials are, representative of the patients that we treat. And so this is a great example of finding the problem and solving it. How many of us love to jump into solution mode? Find me a person who doesn't have a solution for a problem that you take them to. The advice is free, But I think my lesson learned is that spend the time in finding the problem before you jump into solution. Do any of you have any experiences here?
Well, first of all, everyone has their advice like dripping off their tongue before you've even finished stating what you think the problem is what I've noticed. Everybody's coming at you unsolicited advice. It's like, wait. So tell us a little bit more about how you identify, like, what was it that the problem ended up being that was different maybe than you thought, just out of curiosity?
Yeah. I'm going to use an analogy, actually, which was, I think this was one of the first things when I was learning design thinking. There was a problem that this group at the D school was asked to solve, was that the mortality rate in Nepal is very high because they don't have incubators. And so they were given that task. And so they tried to go and solve that to say, we need to raise money to buy incubators, which are very expensive. And, the issue was actually that Nepal had enough incubators. These incubators were in the big cities. And a lot of this infant mortality was happening in the smaller villages where they didn't have these incubators. They didn't have the infrastructure to even put them in. They didn't have electricity or the hospitals, right? So this was a great example of a problem. If you were trying to solve it, it's not an incubator problem. It's a transportation problem. It's an infrastructure problem. And so the team actually identified the right problem, which was, we need a way for the infant to come from the village to the city so that the infant can have an incubator. And so this is a prime example of solve the problem, but for that you have to go and identify it. And they came up with a solution which is actually not expensive at all. It was a it was a transportation device for the infant from the village to be brought. And it was an insulation almost like, and they use local products to keep the cost low, et cetera. And it was brilliant, right? It was a brilliant example of solving the problem. And if they had gone and raised money and bought more incubators, it would not have solved the problem because these incubators would be in the city, right? It would not address the issue. I'll share a mom example. Somebody once said, this kid falls down in the park, right, and gets hurt and starts crying. And the mom comes and runs up to them like, oh, what happened? Here, take a cookie, right? Because she thinks the cookie is going to solve the problem. And the kid takes the cookie and puts it on his bruise. Right? the kid is hurt, needs a hug, not a cookie, right?
So not a cookie.
Not a cookie.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, really kind of like focusing on, we're so good at this, aren't we? Like everyone wants to help. And, there's all that whole adage, like people won't ask for help, but they're willing to give it. And everyone's willing to give solutions. And we always jump right to solution mode and really take pausing and stepping back. And I can remember doing this quite a bit when I was in my later part of my career, because in the beginning of part of my career, I definitely was like, oh, good, we'll run and we'll create this and do this and all these solutions. And we're like, never really stopped and said, have we identified the problem? So it was a big question I started asking a lot later in my career is, what problem are we trying to solve? And people would actually really just pause and be like, yeah, right. What problem are we really trying to solve? So it was a good conversation starter.
I have to be honest. I feel like I still struggle with this, right? Like as you guys, I'm thinking about stuff going on in my, not only my professional life, but my personal life. And you guys are getting all my wheels turning just as we're talking now. Am I identifying the actual problem? You know what I mean? Like, am I solving for the right problem? It's like, you guys are giving me a lot of food for thought so that I can, after our time together, I'm going to spend some time. So actually coach me a little bit on the, how do we identify the problem? Like, what process should I go through? Am I making a list? What, or how do you go, guys? Because I know you guys have the design thinking background much more than I do. So tell me.
I love the five whys. Have you ever like talked to a kid who keeps asking why? Like, you know, my son's like, can I watch TV?
Oh,
why? At the end of it, so be honest with the process, right? It is really difficult to sometimes be honest with the actual problem, right? To say, I'm actually not ready to admit that I'm lazy, that I don't want to go to the gym. So I come up with like, oh, the gym is very far, you know, or the gym is too expensive, versus actually the problem is I'm not motivated enough. So, you know, and that's how I approach it, is really be honest with identifying the problem and don't stop till you actually have gotten to the actual why of it. Mm-hmm. And so I say, my thinking is be a five-year-old, be annoying in making sure that you are getting to the right problem.
Agree, Rima. That's so well said. And, you know, I've been in L&D my whole entire life. And one of the things you do in L&D is a needs assessment, right? You come in and you really start to ask those questions and peel away. And a lot of times we'll start projects and they'll be like, training's the solution. We're like, whoa. We haven't even really talked about it yet or done a proper needs assessment. So as you do that needs, you'll decide, yeah, training maybe wasn't the solution. We don't even need to be here. You need to fix process X, or you need to move machine Y over here, and it makes it a lot easier for them. So just asking all those questions and peeling away the onion, I think you do get to the root cause.
Absolutely. You know, the other part of problem solving is understanding if it is a me problem or a you problem or a not me problem.
Right? It's always a you problem. Come on.
You have to know, like, this is a problem I cannot solve. And I think, like, coming to that to say, I think it's a really important thing because it gives you that, at least the understanding about what you can and cannot do, because sometimes you can't do anything about it. And that's okay too, right? But at least you have arrived at that by understanding, okay, this is a problem that I cannot do anything about right now. But, you know, also, is this a problem that is mine or is it somebody else's?
Think of how much money we would save in the business world and maybe in our personal lives also, but definitely in the business world, if you're actually solving the right problem, right? You're not wasting resources and time by focusing on solutions that are not going to fix the problem.
But I will say, I think I agree with that, but it's also like, there's something about being active. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like that there's that knee-jerk reaction to like do something, even though a tiny pause of to actually understand and conceptualize what your next steps are would probably be so much more productive. But it's like, how do you build that in? You know what I mean? We're maybe kind of conditioned to react and start taking action when in reality, you're just like flailing around, you know?
And, you know, I mean, there will be an aspect where immediately you'll have a response, right? You immediately want to run to your kid who has fallen down and crying to help them. And then maybe beyond the point, you try to understand, okay, what happened here? What happened that it really led to this? I have another example, which it taught me a lot about problem solving. So I packed this lunch for my kid for the field trip, right? And the lunch came back not eaten. And I immediately was so upset. And I'm like, I woke up in the morning in the middle of my call, I'm making your lunch and you don't even eat it. My kid looks at me and says, you forgot to pack a fork.
Touché.
Out. Right? Out.
Right. And they're like, oh my God. So it's not that my kid doesn't appreciate me. It's not that they don't want, they came back hungry, but they basically said, I was not going to use my fingers. So, you know, so just like asking the why, but even pausing to understand, okay, tell me what happened. And you're like, okay, well, next time, I'm like, okay, here are five forks for the whole week, right? I'm just like,
yeah, leave one at school next time. Yeah, I'm starting to see this more as I start to do more consulting. You're kind of brought in sometimes as a consultant at the end, and they're like, here's a solution we want you to implement. And it can be challenging to talk to the client and ask those questions and maybe figure out that this wasn't the solution they wanted to bring me in for, right? And sometimes consultants will just do it because they're going to pay them. Hey, great, but it's not going to solve the problem. And really, I think the good consultants will come in and ask those questions and maybe find a different solution that the client wasn't really thinking about.
But then that's part of the problem also, is it's like you want to, and I feel like this when you have a boss too, it's like execution is everything, right? And so as long as you look busy and but as a consultant, if you are executing on a solution you did not identify, then that's going to reflect poorly on you in the long run anyway, right? Because it's not going to have, it's not going to have the impact. You have to have a voice in what the solution is, right? Like you have, they have to have full buy-in, I think.
100%. Yeah. You're not providing any value at that point.
How do you do that? Like, how do you go back and say, hey, are we sure we've identified the problem? Could you take me through what your process was? Like, what would you guys do?
Yeah, that's the way I kind of approached it. I ask a lot for like what the strategy that they're trying to implement is. You'd be surprised sometimes that you don't have any. You know, what outcomes are they trying to drive towards? And then I start to ask those kind of questions like, oh, it sounds like you're trying to drive to this outcome. If we implement X, does it get us there? And how do you know? And how will we know if we did it that way? So it's really just asking questions. And I think we probably could do a whole podcast on just asking questions.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Even if you're brought in towards the end to implement, even an implementation, there is an aspect of understanding, right? What is the outcome you're trying to accomplish? And is this solution the right solution for that? And at least plant the seed to say, okay, I really will, as we go through implementation, we need to put in some checks. So you put in some metrics to make sure that it's actually accomplishing. You guys are both from training. You know, training solves all problems, right?
Oh, of course, 100%. Just train them again.
Keep training them. It's like, well, it could be a mindset issue. It could be that they actually need something else. They actually might need, you know, a leadership message that says this is important, right? So training is an important component, but it is only effective if it's done at the right time for the right people.
Pulled through correctly. Yeah, with the right support, for sure.
So,
well, and also, I think there's a book called I Won't Learn From You. And I read it when I first started in my career. And the premise, I think we'll find this. If we keep throwing training at people, they resent the training. Right? They don't want to spend the time on the training. So they can, so this book, I Won't Learn From You, it was more based on kind of racial identity. But, you know, when I was in Teach for America years ago, it's like they were putting certain teachers in front of certain students and the students were already checked out. It did not matter how much interest they had in the topic or if they wanted to do better, because the mere premise of who was delivering it and why they were chosen shut them down. And I think we'll see that in corporate settings too, right? It's like, we've been trained on this. We're not morons. So why, like I think that people, the recipients probably are identifying this isn't solving the problem because this stuff we know. What do you guys think?
Agree. Yeah. We have MDs coming in and then we're teaching them on basic stuff that they've learned in school already, right? Why are we circling back and redoing the same things over and over again?
It's kind of insulting, a little bit. I mean, right?
It is. Oh, it is, 100%.
When you get an MD, PhD coming in, they're like, bro, I got this.
100%. I think some of the technology that's coming out is going to help us with that too, right? We'll be able to create a little bit more target learning journeys and learning paths based on experience if we can gather that data and have access to that data. So I think that's the future.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Definitely.
And I want to give all of you a cookie. Ruma, you get a cookie. Julianne, you get a cookie. Jerry gets a cookie.
Doesn't matter what my problem is. The cookie is going to make me feel better. Except for I have to go to the gym to like walk it out. So, but no, thank you. I appreciate the cookie. I will definitely take it.
Take it. Hey, it works with my dogs. I'm just saying. A cookie always.
You're going to feed it to your dog. So.
Yeah. Well, every problem is solved with a cookie.
Every problem. Yes. Well.
Well, ladies, we're coming up on time. Yeah, coming up on time. Great conversation. I loved it. Any last words?
No.
Find the problem before you solve it.
Ask and those questions.
Life
isn't
polished.
What problem are we trying to solve for? It's a polished dish.
What? So, just like us.
Just so like us.
Who are we?
So good to talk to you all again. Take care.
Well, talk to you guys again.
Hey, have a great
time. Until next time.